everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend Patrick Dean, who does not take it real seriously. And that's it. That's our whole shtick. That's what we do on this show.
But I'm real sober this time.
That's a shame.
It really is. I looked. I hunted.
If only there was an adult in your house to go buy some alcohol.
I don't know where that 1.5 beers that I had left in the fridge went to, but they are gone.
And Stella is passed out early. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Oh, boy. How was your weekend?
Pretty cold. Yeah. Unpleasant.
Yeah. Did you get any snow there?
There was a little dusting on the truck this morning, yeah.
How nice.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
And it's going to be 72 on Friday.
It's beginning to look like nuclear Christmas. That's fun. Ryan in Chicago, of course, sent me a picture. I got to show you this picture.
I saw the Bears game. I did watch the Bears game. And the Bears were getting snowed on.
Man, the Bears are looking good.
The Bears are looking good. You know what? The whole world's better if the Bears are doing good.
That's true, but I'm so mad at them. I was in Chicago for how many? 15 years almost? Mm-hmm. And they were bad. They were bad Bears.
I remember that. I remember when you left. I remember them sending that note. But now the Clayton is gone.
Good Bears.
Time to be good Bears.
And I got to Washington. I got to Virginia, and I thought, well, at least the Commanders are real good. The Commanders were so good last year. Mm-hmm. They were so good. And I was like, well, this is great. I love being on a winning team.
Exactly.
It's so fun.
And then their quarterback, his hand got put behind his back the wrong way, and it broke his whole arm off.
Yeah.
He looked
right
like
off of the shoulder.
He looked like your neighbor's G.I. Joe that he doesn't play with anymore. That's what it looked like. Oh yeah, we don't play with him. The little string came out of the shoulder and that one's toast.
That one's gone. That one's gone now.
That one's firecracker fodder now.
Here's a picture of Ryan from this morning.
Oh my goodness. God, that's a lot of cocaine.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah, I don't know why he sent it to you. He sent it to me.
Yeah, he's covered in it. Sure is. Poor guy. No snow here. It's blessedly cold here today. Today the high was 42, and I am ba-da-ba-ba-ba, loving it.
Good for you.
And tomorrow it'll be pretty warm, I think. Let's see. I love cold weather. I'm into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, tomorrow's 41.
Ooh.
Then I tell you, the next 10 days, the highest day is 64.
Man, this is some gripping banter here at the beginning. What?
Oh, no, we're literally talking about the weather. Okay.
10 days from now when this publishes, people will be like, oh, Clayton was right about what the weather was two fucking weeks ago.
What else did you do this weekend?
Gosh. Yeah, not a whole lot. Stella had her first club softball tournament. Okay. Got their clock cleaned. For three games in the freezing ass cold. And good. Stella got hit with a comebacker that was probably, well, I don't know, 65, 68 miles an hour. So that was fun to watch as a parent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she survived. She's okay. She did not have to go to the hospital.
That's good.
But yeah, that's one of the worst feelings in the world.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. You should maybe... Have you introduced her to right field?
She plays right field sometimes, too. This did not happen in right field.
No. Yikes. Yep. Well, that's too bad. Well, Maple had her last soccer game of the season this weekend.
Oh, how'd that go?
That's a great... They went very well. It's so funny. They're not good. They're 5 years old. They're not good at soccer.
Yeah. No one's good at soccer at that point.
No.
They're barely interested in soccer.
Yeah. And Maple is not, mostly. And usually in this league, they play older kids, like 6, 7 years old.
Oh,
those kids are, that year makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm, it does.
Those kids are good. And so they have done very poorly this season. Oh. And Maple's like, I hate soccer. I don't do this anymore. And I'm thinking, that's great because I love Saturdays.
I love Saturdays. I love being inside in the fall and the winter.
It's the best. Mm. But then this game, I don't know where they found this fucking scrub team, but these kids were terrible. And Maple's team just absolutely destroyed them. And so then toward the end of the game, she was sitting out for a little bit, taking a little breather. Mm. And I said, are you enjoying the last game? Do you think it's going to be the last one? She goes, no way. She goes, if this game was like all the other games, I wouldn't ever want to play again, but we're doing really great. I can't wait for next season. Son of a God.
I bet this team you guys played, I bet they tour those kids. That's like a chicken pox party right there. They tour that shitty ass team of 3.5-year-olds around. to get their clock clean.
Augusta United pays those kids handsomely. Yeah. Handsomely. So these kids will re-up the next year.
Every coach probably goes on Facebook and is like, hey, what's that service where you hire all the 3.5-year-olds to get beat up by your kindergartners? Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me find. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll send you his number.
Yeah. Yeah. Tot Trounce or something. That's what it's called, I think. That sucks. So, yeah. So I guess. But anyway, for right now, we're free. Free and easy.
Good to hear. Free and easy.
I get to go to Nashville in a couple weeks.
Why?
I'm going to go see a concert at the Ryman. I'm sure we've talked about this.
Oh, who are you seeing at the Ryman?
The Lone Bellow.
The Lone Bellow. Thank you for asking. Bellow.
The Lone Bellow.
Okay.
The name makes you think it's one person. Mm-hmm. It's three people plus a band.
Okay. I mean, did they have to name it that?
Was there funny, that, thank you so much for asking. Let me. Speaking of excellent podcast banter, actually, Patrick. So one of the three lead singers in Lone Bellow used to have a solo act called The Bellows.
Oh, okay.
And so it was kind of a Riley ironic thing, you know. And then when he became multiple, then he made the word singular. When he was singular, he made it plural. But when it was plural, he made it singular.
Yeah, I know. It's a little too cerebral for me.
Yeah, it's pretty cerebral music.
I like bands that are called like Death and Nails and you know Hammer Smasher.
Sure, Hammer That's, Smasher.
Yeah, I gotta write that one down. That's a good one. I don't think it's a real one.
I think you're thinking of Bigger Hammer.
Oh yes, I am thinking of Bigger Hammer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A Hammer Smasher. So doing that soon, that'll be fun. What else? We have an announcement that next week as a listener flies. Mm-hmm. We're doing a live show. It's only for Ghost Plus members.
Ooh.
And if you're not Ghost Plus, you don't get a show next week.
Sorry.
We're not too sorry.
Sucks to be you.
You don't pay us any money, so yeah. You don't get a show next week.
Maybe you're paying Apple money or something or Spotify. I don't know who you're giving money.
If you're giving someone money to make this thing go into your ears, I am so mad about that because we're not seeing any of it.
If you're paying anybody, you're being so scammed right now. Unless it's us, then it's not a scam.
Then it's not a scam. We would never do that to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you're not Ghost Plus, you're not going to be able to hear it. And if you are Ghost Plus, you will be able to hear it. You'll be able to join us live virtually if you want.
Hey.
And if you can't make it, then you'll catch it on the Ghost Plus feed. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil it because you're here, Pat.
Right.
That kind of that's like the whole deal.
You know, if somebody can't make it, they can always just email in a question, right?
What?
They can email in their questions about the show.
Who can?
The people that can't make the show. If you can't
Ghost
make
Plus
it.
Ghost Plus people?
Yeah, Ghost Plus people.
Oh, yeah.
Non-Ghost Plus people. Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck those people. Yeah. We're not talking to them right now.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. They don't exist right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ghost Plus people. Yeah, you can email. And actually, on the Ghost Plus platform, there's an AMA section. You drop questions in there all day long.
Mm-hmm.
No one uses that, but that's an unused resource.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're ever wondering if it is really a ghost, that's where you would ask. That's right.
That is where you ask, and we talk about that. So on the Ghost Plus, you come to the live show, and then after the show, after the recording, we stick around and we chat with everybody, and they ask questions, and we give the same answers every time.
Yep, not a ghost. That's what I always say.
And I say definitely ghost. Anyway, so it'll be fun. I can't tell you what it's going to be about because Patrick is here, and I don't want to spoil it for him. But
I can take the headphones off if you want. I don't have to listen.
No, because you'll forget. When you listen to this, you'll forget to do earplugs.
But I'll have already recorded it by then.
Oh, that's true.
Here. I'll take them off.
Take them off. Can you hear anything? Can you hear this? Hear this? You hear this? All right. I think he can't hear it. So, hey, you ever seen the movie The Exorcism of Emily Rose? That's based on a real story, and that's what we're doing for Ghost Plus. Don't tell Patrick. It's going to be phenomenal. All right, you can come back.
Okay, cool.
So it's going to be great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Can't wait for whatever that is.
Yeah, good. All right. Anything else?
No, that's all I got going on here.
Okay. Well, do you want to hear a ghost story?
I would love to. He walked out the door and he gave him the knob whacking of his life. That's not my proudest moment.
I haven't heard that one in a long time. Speaking about your proudest moment. Jeremy has clipped a new one. I didn't get time to put it on the board, so we'll save that one maybe for the live show. Thank you, Jeremy, for clipping. Another good one. He always finds the good ones. All right. Joseph Librant Forepaw.
Native American?
No, sir.
No, Forepaw?
Forepaw.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds not like you're thinking it's spelled.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking it sounds like the foreplay of the animal kingdom, but it sounds like it's not what that is.
The first part is correct.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's foreplay of the paw, I don't know, of the dad kingdom. No, it's foreepaugh.
Okay.
Forepaw.
Okay.
Forepaw.
Yeah, like a faux pas.
Kind of.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're on the same page.
Yeah. Great. He was born in Pennsylvania in 1837. And as a young man, he worked as an apprentice at a wholesale imported dry goods firm in Philadelphia.
He must have been fascinating at parties. Fascinating. What dry goods? Barley? Oh, my God. What is barley again? Jen, come listen to this guy. He's talking about barley.
Ask him about sheaves. Ask him how much is in a sheaf.
Now, a bushel, is that different from a peck? Is it a bushel or a peck? I don't understand.
Guys, come here. Come here. Listen.
He's talking about pecks.
We're both talking about his pecks. So that's fun for him.
And only him?
At the age of 21, he decides he's had enough of Philadelphia.
Oh, but not dry goods.
Not dry goods. No. No. Fucking stupid.
I'm going to follow that out until the sunrise.
Yeah. But Philadelphia is a problem. I mean, his insurance stops covering battery related injuries or something. so much grease on his clothes from all the light poles. So he leaves. And in 1858, he makes his way to the Mississippi River.
Okay.
Where he hitches a ride on a riverboat.
Ooh.
Up to St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh.
The land o' lakes.
Not the right direction.
It is wrong. Although it does keep him safely out of the Civil War that's going to pop up here in just a few years. Fair enough.
I was so confused whenever I learned that the Minnesota area, that's like the land o' lakes or whatever. And then there's a margarine called land o' lakes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was confused. I thought, well, what do the two have in common? And then I visited Minnesota, and I realized they put margarine on everything. And I thought, okay, now it makes sense. It makes
perfect
sense.
That's why so many people in Minnesota are named Marjorie. Mm-hmm. They named her after the margarine. They're big fans. Big fans. I love a good racially insensitive fake butter. It's one of my favorite things. I think they stopped using the indigenous woman.
Feels like something that they had to like take that down with Aunt Jemima. Like it was like a package deal. You couldn't have just one of them.
Yeah, it was a stalemate. All right, we'll take Aunt Jemima down. You got to take Land O'Lakes girl down.
Those are the patented negotiating skills of the Democratic Party right there, Clayton Smith.
You say we can't get anything done. You say we fold too early on shutdowns. But did you forget about Land O'Lakes girl and Aunt Jemima?
Mm. I haven't seen her anywhere, have you? No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Egg on your face. You want to talk about that at all?
I do not.
You know, Tim Kaine was the final Democrat to come around on that. Say, we did it. We did it, everybody.
We did it, everybody.
State of Virginia.
No more health care for you.
I sent him a real salty email today, this afternoon. Oh. And I bet he reads it and takes it to heart and changes his ways and comes back and fights a good fight.
Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah, just like last time.
Apparently, he comes to Stanton quite a lot. I guess he and his wife honeymooned here.
Oh.
Way back when.
Okay.
And so they come here a couple times a year. So I'm going to keep my eyes peeled.
You probably should. Yeah.
I have some things to say. Apparently, the person that's talking to them, they're like, yeah, he comes here a lot. He was honeymooning here. You'll know him because he usually wears a Canadian tuxedo when he gets here.
Ooh.
That's fun. So anyway, I'll let you know how that goes. Yeah. Some fun bonus content for Ghost Plus. Confronting Tim Kaine. Anyway, gosh, where are we? Okay, St. Paul, Minnesota, land of lakes, an opportunity. So Forepaw, he steps onto the dock off the riverboat, and he says, by gum, I'm going to start the driest goods store Minnesota has ever seen.
Not a wet item from wall to wall. And wife's just sitting there like scratching at the window. Let me out.
Land of Lakes, challenge accepted. You think you're wet? I'm going to make you dry. Take the boy out of the dry goods store. Can't take the dry goods store out of the boy. So He's pretty excited. He finds himself a business partner, and soon the two men, they open their own dry goods business called Forepaw and Justice.
And every other walk-in is for the wrong type of business.
It's not to be confused with my cat's detective agency, Forepaw and Justice. Different.
Did someone step on your tail?
This store does quite well. Because the man knows dry goods.
I believe it. I totally believe it.
He's the driest good. Yep. Before too long, it becomes the biggest dry goods store in the upper Midwest. And you know, love dry goods in the upper Midwest. They love keeping things dry.
All the cereals. Really. All of them.
Oats. So many cereals.
Flour, probably. I don't know if that's
sure.
Rice flour. Oh,
I could go on.
I could, but I won't.
I could. Okay, thank you. Let's see. October 19th, 1862, Joseph marries a woman named Mary Lanfer. And they go on to have 5 children.
Man, they really did avoid the Civil War up there. It just like they didn't really happen up there.
It's like, no, they're just banging it out. I think they had 5 who lived. I don't know how many may have died. I'm assuming they're not batting 5 for 5 here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they end up with 5 living children. And business continues to go really well. By 1864, the shop is generating $500,000 a year.
Holy shit.
So he's got the driest goods you've ever seen. It's unthinkable. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of burlap. That's what that is.
A lot of burlap. God.
You should see the burlap budget. It's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. In 1865, he buys out his partner, Justice, and he renames the store J.L. Forepaw and Company.
Okay. No other people, just me and the company.
Just me and the company. Me and the company.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the company of others, just me. And he works really hard, makes a ton of scratch. And so it becomes time. Soon it's time to build a big haunted house.
It's every dry goods vendor's dream. Build a big spooky house.
I don't think we've yet on this show, at least in the last 5 years or whatever, I don't think we've come across a single dry goods merchant who has not built a big haunted house.
It's kind of a self-selecting population. It really is.
Maybe it's true. It's, yeah. In 1870, he picks out a beautiful plot in the Irving Park area of St. Paul, mm-hmm. which is right near the river, the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm.
And let me get a picture here for you. This is a little cute little hovel that he builds. There you go.
Oh, I love this. This looks haunted from the absolute jump.
Yeah, he's really making it haunted.
It's got a bit of a mortuary feel to it with like the drive-through.
This is definitely for us.
That's definitely a mortuary feature right there. That is not uh-huh. something you put on a home that you don't plan on eventually turning into a funeral parlor.
No, for sure. For sure. Yeah, so that's the house. So he knows. He's got enough self-awareness to know mm-hmm. that like, I'm in dry goods and it's 1864. I'm going to be a haunted house. Here's another view. See, that is not. There we go.
Even worse.
From the other corner.
Oh my God. Even worse. I really appreciate the 2x4 handrail he's set up here to make it a little bit safer to climb up to the house. But yeah, this is absolutely the house from Psycho. This is 100% the house from Psycho.
This is the path that leads you down to the river where you drown yourself mm-hmm. because you don't want to live in this house anymore. Yeah. Good looking house, though.
It really is. Absolutely. If you're a mortician.
Yes. So that's a house. Now, family moves in. It's a very fine house. Mm-hmm. And of course, a house that size, you need a staff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big house.
Mm-hmm.
So they hire a butler. They hire a full kitchen staff. They hire a few maids. And one of those maids is a lovely young woman named Molly. Now, Molly is not very good at her job.
Oh, of being a maid.
Of being a maid.
Hmm.
She's not the best maid.
How can you not be good at that? It's just picking up after people.
I think probably at this point they're like have to like attend to the needs of
the people
and stuff.
There's probably like bells being rung and shit. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. One time, need I remind you, I worked at Olive Garden for 1 week and thought, absolutely not. I can't take people's orders and remember all the things and bring them their food in a timely manner. And I had the use of a computer system. Mm-hmm. So I get it. Molly was not good at a job, but what she was pretty easy on the eyes.
Oh, okay. All right.
So this is a, what we call a DEI hire.
You got to have one, you know.
Doing every inch. Mm-hmm. You like that joke?
His family lives in the house? This is awful.
Yeah, his family does live in the house. Yeah, his wife and five children are there. His wife, Mary, so she's like, we need to replace Molly. She's bad. She's bad. She's a bad maid. She's not good.
And he's arguing against this.
Yeah, and Joseph will not hear of it.
Right.
She's a great maid. Best maid maybe ever.
Mm-hmm. She made eggs this morning. I think they were eggs. It was wonderful.
It was interesting. I've never had crunchy eggs before, and I kind of liked it. So he won't hear of it. He keeps her on against Mary's wishes. So now there's tension building.
Yeah, that's not worth it.
What's not worth it?
Unless it is.
I mean, she's real hot. She's known in this parts as the body.
The body of St. Cloud, Minnesota.
So he keeps her. Mary doesn't want her on. He keeps her on. This is obviously great for their marriage. Mm-hmm. And very quickly, Joseph and Molly start having an affair.
Oh, no. I'm sure he was trying to avoid it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. She's a real predator. I think we should say, for the sake of this podcast and like the whole vibe that we try to bring to the table, I think we should assume that this was a consensual relationship.
Yes.
I think it's. You know, there's a power dynamic here that's in play that I'm not very comfortable with. Mm-hmm. It's probably consensual.
Yes. Yeah.
Probably normal and cool.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's revisionist, you know what? We're just going to go with it.
You know, one of the few privileges we white males have left to us
is we get to rewrite history. Give us this. My goodness. You took away Aunt Jemima.
So, whatever. So they're it's happening. It's happening between them. They're in love. And
there's nothing you can do about it.
No, it's all in the past. But of course, Mary is not stupid. The wife, she's like, "Hey, you banging the maid?" And he's like, "I don't know."
Obviously not.
Clearly,
I like cooking.
Outrageous accusation.
I'm also cooking Molly Smegs.
So she's obviously mad about this, but Joseph won't let her fire Molly. So instead, Mary, it sounds like so much fun in this house. So instead, Mary gives Molly all the really terrible jobs in the house.
Oh.
She's kind of Cinderella-ing her a bit.
Okay. Yeah.
All
right.
Go pick out all the fucking lentils from that ash can. I dare you. Go
ahead. Yeah. This will teach her a lesson for continuing to screw my husband in my house. I bet she'll stop now.
I bet she won't go back to her quarters thinking, "Oh, I've had a hard day. You know what really helped me unwind?" So she gets all the bad jobs, kind of hoping that she'll quit. She also makes sure to give Molly the jobs that'll keep her away from Joseph and away from all the bedrooms.
Okay, that's fair.
So that's, I guess that's smart.
Lot of picking up dog shit in the backyard. That's what it sounds like.
We had to buy 19 more dogs to keep Molly busy out there.
You know how much I love dogs and their shits.
Yes, mostly their shits. Please collect them, and then I want you to sculpt something out of them.
Bare hands, no gloves, please. I need your hands smelling like dog shit all the time, actually.
Constantly, just constantly. So anyway, she keeps. So this is ultimately ineffective, though, and we know that because before too long. It becomes pretty clear that Molly is pregnant.
Oh no, even after the dog shit trick. That's terrible. Even
after the dog shit. Turns out that's his kink.
Oh. And she wouldn't know that because they're so unhappy.
That's right. Because she never asked.
You didn't even know what my kink was.
You didn't even know I wanted you to smear dog shit on my penis. So this, of course, is the last straw for Mary.
Absolutely.
She's like,
yeah.
Of course not.
Everything up until now I could deal with and have been dealing with.
So she goes hard on Joe. She's, that's probably the wrong way to say that, I guess. Mm. She's mad. She's big mad.
Yeah.
And now even Joseph is like,
I could see why you're upset. I can see why you're upset.
Okay. I'm starting to come around to your view. So it's not a great look for him. He's got a business to run. He doesn't want scandal being out there and stuff. So he ends the affair. He pulls Molly aside and tells her, I'm so sorry. Now that you're pregnant, this is over. And cool, like wealthy white man style. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes. Again, yeah. Give us something.
Give us just revisionist history and the ability to end affairs after we impregnate people. Come on. But he doesn't fire her because he wants to make sure that he keeps his illegitimate child close.
Mm.
He wants to be able to provide for it.
Sure.
In some way, right? Make sure she has a job. And like also, like, he would like to see his child, who presumably will be running around the house. Now, I don't think Mary's going to like this.
Right. Yeah, this seems to be going from bad to worse from Mary's perspective.
Yeah, you know. And that's Mary's fault.
Yeah.
She should just roll with it instead of saying fire her and cut it off with her.
You've seen the Brady Bunch. It's kind of like that.
So he tells Molly it's over, but you're going to keep working here. And so Molly is not, she's not into this plan.
Oh, okay.
She is distraught because apparently she does love Joseph.
Sure, absolutely.
Why wouldn't she? Mm-hmm. He's a peach. And she's distraught, absolutely. And a few days later, when the family is out of the house, Molly goes up to the third floor, top floor of the mansion. Mm-hmm. She ties a rope around a chandelier. She ties the other end of the rope around her neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then she throws herself out the window.
Oh, interesting choice mechanically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really long rope, I guess. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of things to tie the rope to. Well, maybe I guess if you're in this corner window, maybe not.
I do like it. It's very, it's very poetic.
It, and gosh, effective. I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. Her neck snaps and she dies instantly.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Joseph comes home and finds her body dangling from the rope outside of the house.
Yeah. He calls his wife. And he's like, I have good news and I have bad news. Which would you like first?
The bad news is I'm not getting laid tonight.
Yeah.
Let's start
also,
there.
The dog shit is already piling up in the backyard. So,
and I have never been hornier. Yeah. So this is terrible timing.
You will find me in the side yard, completely nude, awaiting your embrace. Also, Molly's dead.
So this scandal is obviously not going to help business.
Ugh.
And so at this point Joseph decides it's time to retire. So he does, he retires from the business. He hands it over to someone else. I don't know if he sells it or if he just lets someone else run it, but anyway, he's out. And he also decides this is probably a pretty good time to maybe take Mary and the kids to Paris for a year.
Yeah, I think,
hey, babe, you know, we've had a hard few months.
We've had some struggles, but I think we're on the other side of it.
I think so. And let's celebrate with 1 year in Paris. Now, a year is a long time. And they've got house and like furniture and stuff. And he doesn't know what to do with them. So it's they sell the house and all their belongings.
Oh, okay. Not a lot of good memories in this house, it sounds like. So
no, I don't think so. I think we're ready to burn it to the ground and start over again. So they sell everything. They move to Paris. They buy all new things, which is how I plan on moving from now on. If I ever move again, just
sell the old stuff, buy some new stuff. I'm sure somebody
buy this house, but you have to buy every single thing that's in this house with it. I don't want to do it. So Joseph sells the mansion to a man named General John Henry Hammond. Who will eventually go on to create a really exciting theme park with the help of some dino DNA. This John Hammond is a retired Civil War vet who also served as General Sherman's chief of staff.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Hammond has a grand old time living in his house. It's great. He's going great. He loves the house. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Doesn't care that the maid hung herself from the third floor window.
Yeah. One missing chandelier. Still don't know the story behind it, but everything else seems cool.
Yeah. Every time I hang a new chandelier there, it bursts into flames. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's about. They're not flammable as far as I can tell, but
I have to cut the grass in the backyard twice a day for some reason. Don't understand that either.
It's so well fertilized. It's
really weird.
Anyway, so meanwhile, the Fourpaws are in Paris, and Sacre Blues, they are having a great time. Mm. They eat so much cheese, I assume. I don't think he fathers any new children while they're there.
They don't poop for the entire time they're there.
No. 12 so months that's good in. For him. That's yeah. good for him.
Absolutely.
So it's going great. Eventually, though, they do have to go home. So they come back to St. Paul. I don't know why they have to go. They should just stay.
You don't have to.
It's true. But they do come home. They go back to St. Paul, and they buy a new home a few blocks away from their old house.
Hmm.
Joseph's children, they grow up. They get married. They have their own kids. Everything's going fine. I assume no one ever mentions Molly. It's pretty good. But Joseph was never quite the same after Molly's death.
Mm-hmm.
Partially because everyone stopped pooping so much, but also for other reasons, probably. In July of 1892, when he was 58 years old, Joseph leaves the house and he catches a trolley car out of downtown. He gets off at a pretty remote stop, and then he goes for a walk. He walks for hours. He walks far out into the countryside. Mm-hmm. He's all alone. It's Country Lane in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
He draws a pistol from his pocket and shoots himself in the head.
Oh!
And it's, I think, a couple days before they find him.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, back at the original Fourpaw Mansion with John Hammond, the Irving Park neighborhood is falling out of favor with the well-heeled gentry. Folks start moving a little further away from Big Muddy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why you'd want to.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful river, beautiful body of water.
It might be up there, honestly.
It probably is. That's true. It's more mountain fed than not at that point.
Correct. Yeah.
It's not the St. Louis that we know. General Hammond eventually decides he's going to sell the house because he's going to move too because it's not like fashionable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a loss on the house, which always is a tough thing to stomach. And then the mansion slowly falls into disrepair. As haunted houses are wont to do. Which means it's time to become a... take a guess.
Oof. I'm going to say retirement home.
You're so bad at this game. Mm. Do you even pay attention to these stories at all? It's a boarding house.
Oh. I was going to guess mortuary, too, but I already guessed that like seven times.
So it operates as a low-rent hotel for several decades, actually, until 1973... when the St. Paul Housing and Redevelopment Authority shut it down because it's too gross for people.
They have exceeded acceptable syphilis levels once again.
And this is St. Paul. So a few years later, a private company buys the mansion and they fix it up and they turn it into a restaurant.
Hmm.
It continues to operate as a restaurant for a few more decades and it changes hands a few times. Hmm. In 2007, a restaurateur named Bruce Taher, I guess we'll say it that way, bought the house and he renovates it again. And this time he turns into a fine dining restaurant called Fourpaws.
Yes.
In the year 2013, the Star Tribune called the food, and I'm quoting here, sumptuous.
Oh.
So. The restaurant operates through 2019, but then early 2020 it closes, of course, because of the COVID pandemic. Because of what? Sorry?
With everything. Everything closed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's see. The plan was to probably not reopen.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a quote. In 2022, Bruce felt the... this is obviously from their website. Mm-hmm. It's so stupid. In 2022, Bruce felt the pull of the history around him and decided it was time to restore Fourpaws to its former glory and once again open its doors for the community to come together and share a meal. I don't know who's writing this. This is obviously not AI written because it's too bad even for that. This is intern work for sure. But once again, he does a total reno of the space. And this time he really does it up. It takes 2 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. But in 2024, Four Paws opens once more. And what a mistake that was, because Molly's ghost still haunts the mansion.
Oh.
Lights. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Spirit of fucking vengeance there. Lights will turn back on mysteriously after being shut off. Specifically, there's a light on the third floor that turns back on all on its own and stays on all night.
Hmm.
This is what the current owners call Molly's light.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's the one who turns it on.
She, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's Molly's light. But you're less impressed because they named it?
There's lots of... I mean, you could... I guess it's nice to name something after her.
Yeah, I think she's earned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Molly's rope. That's not as nice.
It's Molly's smear across the window. Or her bodice dragged across the window pane.
Uh-huh. Yeah, light is way better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Glasses shake and sometimes shatter on the shelf just sitting there. There's also a cold spot on the third floor near the window where Molly died. Hmm. Which I think is not window related. I think it's...
Right, yeah.
Like, insulated window closed, still cold spot.
There's a spot near a window in St. Paul, Minnesota that is cold in the winter. Yeah, probably.
Okay. And yeah, a lot. There are so many ghosts up here. It's crazy. So, let's see. Oh, yeah. Some guests report the faint scent of lavender perfume, which was Molly's favorite and the one she was known to wear. Her apparition sometimes appears near wedding parties and sometimes even in their photos. As if longing for the future with Joseph that she never had.
Wow. Do you have any of those photos?
I wasn't able to dig any up for this particular episode. But,
that's so weird. Photography is one of those mediums that like really comes across on the internet.
These are private photographs. These are intimate wedding photographs.
Of ghosts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The Men of U.S. Ghost Adventures, or whatever the fuck that show is, they are pretty busy jerking up these pictures nonstop. So these are private.
I tried to pry them out of their clawed hands, and it did not go the way I expected.
No, they are just fucking super glued at this point.
I think it was glue.
Let's see. Speaking of Joseph, that son of a gun is still there, too. His spirit can be seen on the basement stairs, going up and down. Not at the same time. Or down, I should say.
That'd be really spooky.
Yeah. It's really crazy. Also seen wandering the dining rooms. Witnesses describe flickering lights and the sound of footsteps when he appears. That's it. The menu slaps. It's a good menu. Next time you're in St. Paul, you might want to go get haunted at Four Paws because it looks really good. I don't suppose this is near Target Field.
We are. That's true. We will be
there next summer, right?
Mm. Oh, that does look good.
Yeah, it's a solid menu. Let's just for kids,
you know what? Fuck it. We can cut all this out of the episode. I really want to look at the food. God, that is so good.
Read out. This is good stuff. Read out. Go ahead.
They painted the entire residence jet black. The entire building is painted jet black now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Man.
It's only a 16-minute car ride from Target Field to Four Paws.
Oh, this is very doable.
That's nothing.
Let's see. Menu. Okay. Are the prices on the menu? Ooh, this is a little steep. But, you know, I could... $20 for a burger. It's steep, but I'm only...
$20 for a burger?
I'm not... I mean...
That's a haunted burger.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. That's worth it. Worth every penny. We'll make Chad pay.
I like this idea even more.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is the story of Four Paws in St. Paul, Minnesota. What do you think?
I think I'm getting pretty hungry. Yeah, I'm getting hungry. Yeah.
You know, if we go there, we should go there because if we do, we can write it off.
Oh, and that's true.
Make Smith's show pay for it.
Ryan, send the paperwork.
We don't need paperwork. That's not how that works. Let's go. You should go and I should go. We should all go and let's all go. It's Four Paws, not spelled how you think. Anyway, this has been another episode of Is This a Ghost? I almost said Smith Show, and that's different. Is This a Ghost? Is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor and website guru is Jen Swanson. Our social media team consists of Jen Jones, who is from somewhere in Minnesota. I think we got to ask Jen if she's been to Four Paws. Also, Sam Murdoch, and our merch is done by Fox and Quill Studio. Go check them out on Instagram at Fox and Quill Studio. And more importantly, go check out our merch. We need money so bad. Don't forget about the live show next week. It's going to be so good. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you can only access it if you are listening to Ghost Plus. And listen, I forgot to mention this earlier. You can join Ghost Plus for free for 7 days. You can just try it out. You don't even have to. You could have no intention of continuing your trial. Just want to hear this episode. That's fine. I don't care, because that's a number I can send to Ryan and say, listen, as of today, we've done something good here. We really did it. That'll make him happy, and he can get off my back. So go check out Ghost Plus at isthisghost.supercast.com. And gosh, that's it for us this week. Whatever you do, don't impregnate your staff. Or else there's a pretty good chance we're going to talk about you next week on Is This a Ghost?